Hello, this is Brent Elliott with Four Roses Bourbon, and you're listening to the Bourbon Podcast.
Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to Bourbon Podcast Repositive. We got a good one today. Now, in fairness, Joe, we've already tasted this one. But we didn't do a proof positive. We're going to do the 2023 Cask Strength Bourbon Angel's Envy. This is the annual release. I think, what is this, the 11th year they've done it?
12th year? Yeah, the first year they released it, we can kind of run through that when we get to it, but was in 2012. So this is actually the 12th release, if you can believe it.
So we had Owen Martin on. Oh, I guess it's been about a month or so ago, and we tasted the bourbon and the rye. It was their first ever cask strength rye that they had released, so we really focused mostly on it. I remember enjoying them both. I remember really loving the rye. The rye is very limited quantities. I think there were only around 5,000 bottles of the cask strength rye released in 2023. I think around 22,000 bottles of the cask strength bourbon. But tell us a little bit about this, Joe.
Absolutely. I'm excited about this because, and I really hate that Kyle's not on this particular proof positive, because he's a huge fan also of the cask strength Angel's Envy. But if you all didn't catch our last podcast, just a couple of historical notes about Angel's Envy. The notable, you know, founding father of Angel's Envy, you know, people, when they think of Angel's Envy, they think of Lincoln Henderson. And Lincoln Henderson is what made him, put him on the distillery map as a master distiller, was he developed brands such as Woodford Reserve and Gentleman Jack while he was at Brown-Forman. And so he had significant experience after he retired. And it was his son, Wes Henderson, who basically approached him. And the two of them, you know, decided to, you know, by talking about some ideas of how they might want to set a distillery up, the two of them, father and son, came up with this idea of opening up a distillery in Louisville. And so Wes and Lincoln were pioneers in the sense that they were, if not the first, some of the very first that wanted to explore the impact of secondary barrel finishing on bourbon and rye. And they were one of the very first to use port barrels to finish bourbon, and, you know, very similar to kind of how Scotch was aged over the years. And so this was a big deal when the two of them first came out with Angel's Envy, because there was really nothing like it in the market. So obviously there's the, you know, the standard release, and then there, which is, you can find pretty much on any store shelf. But then there's also the annual cask strength release, which is what we're going to be reviewing today. So back up a quick bit here, which is 2013, the distillery broke ground on its distillery in Louisville. And it was the first, Ben, first full production whiskey distillery in downtown Louisville. Did you know that? That's kind of wild.
I did not know that.
And so Lincoln, you know, shortly after they, you know, broke ground on the distillery, he passes away, Lincoln does. And the year before that, in 2012, they had released the very first ever cask strength. So I want to just give you a quick feel on the actual cask strength series and its importance over the time. So in 2012, there were only 600 bottles released, Ben, at $149. And it was the very first release at 121 proof. And it made a huge splash in the bourbon world. A spirit journal in the following year basically called it the best spirit in the world in 2013. And this was released in the fall of 2012. So over the years, Lincoln worked on 2012 and 13. Those were really, you know, his first two releases that he did before he passed away. But the number of bottles rose from 600 very quickly in 2014 after his death to 6,500 and hit the 10,000 threshold in 17, jumped up to almost 15,000 bottles in 21. And then, as you can see today, 22,656 bottles. So some of those earlier releases are really prized. I actually have that 2012 release.
I thought you did. I remember seeing that one over there.
It's really cool having it since there's only 600 bottles. And then there, apparently those were released at the actual distillery, and it's just probably very similar to what you just recently picked up at Old Forester. So,
was it released in the wooden box, the 2012?
So the 12s didn't have a box. You know, there is a 12 version running around at 123.7 that they show a box, but the original 600 bottles were, my understanding, 121 proof, and they were at the distillery that night, apparently. So there were several of those bottles that they drank, and in the end, it does not, my understanding, come, those initial 600 did not come in the box. But the subsequent to that, there are, every release has a, you know, certainly has a box.
You got to think, so 600 bottles in 2012, and people weren't, I mean, you know, people collect everything, but they probably weren't hoarding the way they do now. You've got to think that there aren't that many bottles left. I mean, most people will have probably already drank them, right? I mean, yeah. There just can't be that many left.
Yeah. And for instance, there was a comment I read years ago where there was a gentleman who actually had three bottles, you know, and he drank two of them that night and still has one left, you know, from that big night we came out. But it was such a huge deal. I can't tell you that, you know, you see finishing, we've had so many interviews with blenders and master distillers who are using, you know, finishing techniques. That was just such a huge deal when they came out with this cash strength in 2012. And it was the first of its kind. It blew the whiskey world, like globally, you know, it blew it away. And again, best spirit in the world in 2013 by Spirit Journal. So, but 600 bottles, you're right. And even the 2013 release was a very somewhat limited release. And it wasn't until after his death in 14 when that, you know, it really jumped up to about 6,500 bottles into where it is today.
So this year's release, the 2023 release is, let's see, let me put my glasses on so I can get the proof. Looks like 118.2 proof.
Correct.
Finished so in port wine. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. So this what makes this very unique, I'm very excited actually to try it because I've always been a huge fan of these, is that in 2011, you know, Wes Henderson kind of stepped aside from his key position to spend more time with his family. And they brought in, as you know, Owen Martin, who we just had on, and who was a master distiller, and he was a master blender, really, at Stranahan's. And so this, up to that point, this was a Henderson project, right? The first 11 releases. But this 12th release is the first under... that's crafted by Owen Martin. And because he is so well known for his blending skills, I think he really wanted, as you remembered in our interview, he wanted to put his twist on things. And not that there was, things weren't blended properly in the past. He just had a different idea of maybe how these should be blended, particularly with this experience in the wine industry. And so this release is going to be somewhat unique in that manner when you look at the prior 11 releases. And so I'm really excited to see how this one turned out. But generally speaking, it's usually a blend of barrels aged 5 to 9 years. And then unlike many that are finished secondary finishing, this one's actually, they typically can run you know, 18 to 24 months in addition to the aged barrels that are blended in port barrels for another 18 to 24 months historically, finished in port barrels. I don't know how long these particular ones were finished or what his strategy was for blending, Owen Martin, but that's what it was historically. And the retail on this, $230, if you can find it.
So we're trying batch C12, and this is bottle number 11,313. And then there's something else here I can't particularly read. Let me see if I can blow it up.
You know, it's really interesting on the nose. It's like cherries, and it's like a heavy port and cherries. It's all over the nose. I don't know if you've had a chance to really dive in, but really the port influence is significant here. And the fruit. I mean, you can't get away from the fruit. The fruit tones are everywhere, and just seems like the right amount of oak. Not overly oaked here, but you do get some oak on that. So,
you know, I'm a big fan of this. I like all the Angel's Envy products. So there's not one that I have tried that I disliked, but this is one of my favorites every year when they release it. And particularly, I think I'm not sure I've even tried the last year's release, but when I tried the 10th release, which would have been 2021, I think that was their 10th anniversary. It was absolutely amazing. One of my favorite whiskeys that year. And so we'll see how this one compares.
Yeah. Let's give this one a go. Wow. I will say this. This one is hot. The heat really does come up. I've been waiting a little bit for the heat to come down to get all those flavors, but it's super spicy. You know, it's spiced with lots of fruit, and then you can certainly get that port, you know, the port all throughout. And what make this one maybe a little unique to me is tastes a little hotter than what I'm accustomed to, but the heat comes down and the finish is really long and very nice.
I haven't really been a big fan of bourbons finished in port wine casks. Now, I've enjoyed ryes finished in various things, but bourbons finished in port wine. But this one, and I'm not sure why, this one is really, really good. And I'm not getting the heat, Joe. I don't get overwhelming heat on this.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I definitely, through my second and third drink, I'm definitely getting the heat, but it's a pleasant, you know, kind of a heat, you know, that heat, comes up hot, but then it comes down nice and slow. It's not overly tannic, you know, which you might, you might get sometimes with the finishing. And you get it's kind of interesting. You still get get just enough black pepper too, and some sweetness, but from the bourbon, you're certainly getting a little bit of those baking spices and cloves on the back end. It's very good.
It's definitely sweet. I mean, but it's not one of the problems that I have with bourbon finished in port wine in general. And this goes back to some of our earlier episodes. I mean, some of the very first episodes we've done, it's just overly sweet. It's just too much for me, but this one, it's not, it's a really good balance. It's not to the point where you're puckered, you know. It's not like, it's not overwhelming, the sweetness.
I agree. It's almost jammy, isn't it? Kind of, as I would describe it, the flavor, the sweetness is more like jam than it is like overwhelming sweetness. You know, it's pretty nice. And I definitely, you know, there's a lot going on here between the baking spices and the port wine and sweet cherries and things like that. And you can detect again the black pepper in there, and it's very nice, very consistent. And in some ways it's kind of, you know, very soft and clean, right? Because at the end you're not getting those undesirable flavors that you might get, right, from some of the finished product.
You know, it would be a fun episode if we could try these side by side, like the last three or four years. try them side by side and just see how close they are.
No, I agree.
I don't think I had last year's, but I've got a bottle. I just haven't opened it yet. But we've got, I know I've got the 10th anniversary bottle open. Maybe we'll just crack your first one. I mean, the one
wouldn't
that's only 600 bottles.
Now that would be a hoot, wouldn't it? You know, I do have a couple of extra bottles downstairs. I have to go look at and see maybe a 15. And I think Ben, I may have the 21 or 22 release. I think that's a good idea to kind of go into one of those, but also be kind of maybe back when there were sub 10,000 bottles, and that would be the 16 release or earlier. If I can find one of those downstairs, I think it'd be interesting because, you know, if you, for instance, the 2015 release had 7,500 bottles, that's a third, right, of this one.
Right.
So I think it would be interesting to see how those two would how you control, right, the quality and the flavor profile when you go from 7,500 to 22,000 bottles.
Right. Well, I think Owen Martin did a great job on this one.
I think I'm trying, yeah, this is different to me than what I'm used to, you know, trying. And I'm looking forward actually to getting another glass of this down. Cause I bet you over time, you know, two or three more drinks here. I bet you the flavors that come out of this and the richness really, you know, I'm sure that would prevail big time.
What other bourbons have we tried in port wine, finished in port wine?
It's interesting, right? I'm trying to think at the...
There were a few that we've done, but I can't remember which ones were bourbon versus rye.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, we've done the rye finished in port once, I think, but I'm trying to think what the other bourbon was. We'll have to really go back and kind of take a look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this one is... this one's good. What do you think about the MSRP of $230, though?
I think it's good. I mean, like, I think for quality, if you can find it, and my guess would be with 22,000 bottles that you should, if you're looking around for it, or if you're traveling, there's probably a good chance you'll find it on the shelf. And I'm guessing, Ben, that the pricing is going to stick in that probably $230 to $250.
Yeah.
I think it's, if you want to try a, you know, I mean, they're the first. They're the first. They are the first distillery, really, who had kind of gone mainstream with port finish and went out there and with their legacy with Lincoln Henderson. I mean, look no further. I think you have to buy this thing. And in prior years, it was very difficult to find these bottles certain years. But I think if you can find it for less than $300, I think it's definitely a buy because, you know, I mean, how many bourbons out there are going to stack up to, there's a lot of blending going on. I get it. There's a lot of finishing, but this one to me, you know, it's going to certainly stand out from the rest. It's because it's just so much bigger and longer finish and everything else.
So these bottles I bought at the distillery, I was in Louisville and stopped in, I grabbed you one. Actually I brought my son in who's 21. He grabbed one, but, they do not come with a wooden box this year. The other years that I have come with a wooden box, but they did not. And the distiller was already sold out of the rye and I was there. I think they released it on December 1, if I remember correctly.
Right. That's right. Yep.
And I was just there a few days after that and they were already sold out of the rye. So it's very, very limited. But just so happens, I was driving home and I stopped for gas at a gas station in Kentucky and they had a bottle of the Cask Strength Rye sitting on the shelf at MSRP. I couldn't believe it. Could not believe it. So I snagged it, but they only had one bottle.
Well, I tell you, I mean, I think he's making his mark, Owen Martin, obviously. And it's almost like closing one chapter and going after another. You know, we didn't talk a lot about their other releases, but if you get a chance, Ben, and any of the others who haven't, have them all downstairs. But they have a limited release cellar collection,
right?
And they have done. And Ben, you've had I think you opened your ice cider, right?
And it was really good too. And it got it got really good reviews.
Exactly. They did a more specialized, they did a sherry finish, a tawny, Madeira, and ice cider. So those have been their cellar collections, and they're done under a different label. They're really beautiful bottles, super limited, you know, in terms of their production, much more limited than this. And then, of course, they have what's called their the only one bottle they've ever released under their Founders collection, and that's the Mizunerara finish, the Japanese barrel. And I've always wanted to get one of those. I literally have everything except that bottle, and I've seen it out there, but I'm always like, I just don't think I want to spend that kind of money. But
what is that running on the secondary?
I wouldn't even know now, but it's a big number. It's going to be in the thousands, you know?
Yeah.
So for sure. And I think like or at least well over 1,000, but like the others are still readily available in that $500 range. So, you know, I'd say again to those who are really interested in, you know, bourbons and ryes that are finished very carefully, and that, you know, this is a distillery, again, they're 12 years into this. So they know what they're doing, and it's, you know, it's going to be worth that price. And where prices are going these days, I think it's definitely, you know, kind of more than reasonable.
Well, we're starting to see these special releases, these annual releases from distilleries like Wild Turkey Generations and some of the others, where the MSRP is $450, $500. You remember the one we did with Kentucky Owl that was finished in the I forget what is finished down in the bayou or something. It was
those were those crazy rum casks, $4.99, a bottle. Which, and
I have enjoyed the rum casks finished. I don't know what it is. There's something.
Yeah.
I enjoy the rum cask finish a lot of times more than I do than the port wine. And there was one that we tried that was finished in Chardonnay, and it was god awful. It was terrible. I think we did a proof positive on it, and it was so negative I didn't launch it. It was so bad. I said, you know what? That's just I was not very nice in that episode, so I didn't even air it. But this one for me, it's two thumbs up, Joe.
Yeah. If you can find it, I mean, again, it should be in your bars, some of the higher end bars anyways. Go ahead and get yourself a nice, you know, a good pour of this, 2 ounce pour at least, and give it a try. And then if you are a fan of port finish, you'll know bourbons, and this is a good one.
Yeah, I think this is one you should be able to find. With 22,000 bottles, I mean, that's not incredibly limited. I mean, it's not something you'll see at every liquor store you go to, but it's not so limited you can't find it. It's also available online if you live in a state where you can order online. And I've seen these in the 280 to 300 range online. Now that doesn't include shipping, but it's one that you definitely want to try. I recommend.
I agree.
I think it's good. I think it's very good.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's kind of refreshing to have the pricing. You know, if you look at it, their pricing went from $150 in 2012 to $230 12 years later. I mean, there's not a whole lot of inflation there.
And how much was it in 2012? How much was
$150
it?
A bottle.
All right, Joe, I'll make you a deal. I'll give you $300. You can double your money right now for that 2012 bottle.
Oh boy.
Yeah, probably not.
I just want to know what that damn thing is worth.
Who knows?
I had to drive all the way to like halfway through North Carolina and meet some guy at some podunk town and pick that damn thing up. I think I gave him two George T. Stags for it, you know.
Oh, is that what you did it on trade?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, you know me. I don't have Ben Slang go kind of money.
Wait a minute. You traded two George T. Stags?
I did. Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah, but back then, the Stags were running. This was before, you know, the price blew up. But back then, they were running $500-$600 a bottle, so it was well worth the trade.
Well, I mean, you know, as far as quantity is concerned, I mean, you got a good deal. I mean, George T. Stag is great, but
being
able to pick up one of 600 is amazing.
Yeah. Hey, we should probably say one other thing about Angel's Envy. If you're in Louisville, we always have people asking us about where should we, you know, if we've got to go to three or four distilleries in Louisville, you know, where do we go? And Angel's Envy, I always put that in the list along with Michter's and Old Forester. But I mean, Angel's Envy is right there on that list. And like we said, they are the first full production whiskey distillery downtown Louisville. And of course, Old Forester's there and they've been around for 100 plus years. But, you know, and that town was not distilling whiskey before, you know, Angel's Envy decided, you know what, through Lincoln Henderson's son, let's go ahead and set this thing up.
And so, the distiller also carries, they always have good barrel picks there. So it's a good place. Always when I'm there, I will grab their, you know, latest barrel pick as well. So folks, thanks for tuning in. It's four thumbs up for the 2023 Cask Strength Bourbon from Angel's Envy. Appreciate you tuning in. Are you enjoying Bourbon Podcast? Be sure to leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing. And by the way, thanks for listening. Yourself.